You know, we had our first men's breakfast yesterday since the beginning of COVID. It's okay. And, you know, guys are hard. They're just very hard. It's like trying to herd cats. You know, iron sharpens iron. It's an event that happens every year. There are 6 touch points to try to get a guy to come to an event. There's email, there's a phone call, there's face-to-face, there's this, there's that. But there's 6 touch points that you need to have to get guys to come to an event. Now, women, you have one conversation, we're going to do this, they're there in spades, right? But guys, you just got to touch point 6 times to get them to come to an event. But it was a great event. It was wonderful. It was encouraging that this is the right time to start some of this stuff again, being in person again. You know, corporate prayer is something at some point we're going to be back in person again. It's time. We need to start doing this. But one of the things that really touched me yesterday during the conversation, now, you know, it's not just a preaching during a men's breakfast. It's conversational. We share a scripture and then we talk about it. You know, what are you getting? What are you getting? What are your thoughts? And we had a lot of conversation from a lot of people yesterday. And there was one word that kept coming up. No matter who was sharing, there was one word, and the word was hope. And, you know, we talk about faith. We talk about love. We don't talk a lot about hope. We talk about it, but as I was meditating yesterday on that word, God was really revealing to me the importance of hope. So we're going to talk about hope this morning, and I'm going to keep it somewhat brief so we can get out of here and enjoy the beautiful day. There's a lot of things going on in the world today, in our lives, and the lives of those that we care most about. We are constantly praying for God to move in this situation, in that situation, and some very serious things. We talked about how faith requires works in order to be effective. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, faith, hope, and love abide in these things. Now, it says that love is the most important thing, and that's true. But hope is actually the compass that points our faith and our love in the right direction. And so we'll get into a little bit more about that. But hope is the topic for today because it is so important that we understand the role of hope in our walk. We are in a season of praying for loved ones, for healing, for salvation, for deliverance, for wholeness, for peace and joy, to know God. Today, more than ever, we need hope to get through these trying times. And one of the reasons I want to talk about hope today mainly is because, you know, Proverbs 13:12 tells us that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. We've been talking a lot about the heart lately. And so hope is connected to the heart. The heart that we've been praying, God, create in me a clean heart. Hope is a part of that, and we need to understand it in order to get the fullness of it. So hope, when it's deferred, makes our heart sick. Today, the message title is, Do Not Abandon Your Hope. Acts 27:20 says, since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us, from then on all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. This is Paul. Remember the shipwreck? Things were looking pretty bleak there for a while. The storm was tossing the ship, was taking on water. It looked bleak. And they had a hope. They had a hope of what their saving was going to look like. What is it going to look like for God to save us? Well, the ship was going to make it through the storm. We were going to be able to stay on the ship and just ride this thing out. But the ship was a total loss. And it was about midnight during that time when Paul encouraged people. And so that's really what I want to do for you today, is just encourage you to not abandon your hope. Now, we know the end of this story. Not one of the 276 people on board lost their lives. They were all saved. Even though it looked bleak. So one of the things we have to do is we have to manage our hope. We have to not put undue expectations on Father. We know that he's going to save us. We know that we are saved. What that looks like, how he does it, that's up to him, right? We know that some of our cargo on our ships are going to have to get jettisoned at some point. Things are going to have to be cast overboard, right? But we will be saved. And we need to hold on to that hope until the end. The hope is what's going to help us carry through. What causes us to abandon our hope? Undue expectations. Hoping in the wrong things. Hoping in anything but God, really. When you look at the world, there are so many systems falling apart. Systems that we thought were so mature and so well done that they would be in existence forever. And these systems are not. Everything is just falling apart around us. Like that ship. And are we going to lose hope in the midst of it because all of this stuff is happening? Or are we going to hold fast to our hope in Jesus Christ? And we got to keep reminding ourselves, hold fast the hope. Keep your eyes on Jesus. It's only temporary. We walk by faith, not by what we see going on around us. We lose hope, we give up on hope when our prayers are seemingly not fully answered. Prayers that seem to go unanswered because our expectations were not aligned with his in the first place. Prayers that are not answered in our timing. If we eventually abandon our hope, what does that say about our hope in the first place? It says that our hope is conditional and that it has to meet our conditions in order for us to continue to participate in this hope. Is that the kind of hope that we should have as children of God? No, we don't put the conditions. He puts the conditions, and he makes the conditions very easy for us to walk in that hope and to obtain all of the promises that are available to us. Conditional hope is not hope at all, is it? Oh, everything seems to be against me. And that can be very real sometimes. So I'm not making light of it. But doesn't the Bible say no weapon formed against me? Doesn't the Bible say if he is for me, who can be against me? This is the kind of stuff we need to be reminding ourselves of when we're by ourselves and it feels like everything is coming against us. Do we need somebody else to tell us that, hey, if God be for you, no weapon formed against you. Well, they will be formed, but they're not going to prosper. We need each other. But when each other is not there, we need to be able to, like David, encourage ourselves in the Lord. The most damaging reason for hope to be deferred and our hearts becoming sick is because we put our hope in things other than God. So that's the example of Paul. I'll share another example of Abraham. And I love the scripture. It's Romans 4, 17 to 22. It says, as it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Here's the phrase, in hope against hope. Every time I read that, I just have to stop and say, I need a revelation. In hope against hope. And it says, in hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. So shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in the faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew stronger in the faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured, there's that word again, fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. So what does it mean in hope against hope? It's really the dichotomy of who we are. We are flesh, we are also spirit. And when we look at things in the natural, the situation that we are in, depending on what that situation is, we have a natural hope. And sometimes that hope is very limited based on our understanding. In this particular case, Abraham, his hope did not rise to the occasion that him and Sarah were going to have a baby. Natural hope could not bring itself to that level where he could believe that this was going to happen. So then the spiritual side of things had to kick in. The belief in God, the hope in God, that if God speaks a word, he's going to bring it to pass. And so he chose to stand on the word of God. And that's what it really means in hope against hope. It was hoping because we have Christ, hoping because we have God, who through all whom all things are possible, no matter what we see, versus what we see in the natural, and the hope that if all we had was hope in the natural would be far, far less than the hope that we can have because we have Jesus in our life and the Holy Spirit. And so that's what it really means, hope against hope. It's that spiritual, faith-filled hope in the Word of God over what I can see in the natural, what we know in the natural. I mean, these were facts. These were not just beliefs. They were facts. When you get to be about 100 years old, to have a son, it's just not been done but God. So that's what hope against hope means. It's hoping, putting our hope in God and not in the flesh. This is a testimony to the strength and resolve of Abraham's faith. Abraham knew that what was promised was not possible in the natural. Everyone knew that. We know that. There were a lot of natural reasons Abraham had to deal with. He had to push aside. You know, if he ever had to walk out, lean not on your own understanding, that would have been the time. How many times do we end up having to walk through the lean not on your own understanding? If we're walking by faith, that's going to happen a lot, right? It's really not just lean not on your own understanding, but let's try to cast our own understanding aside completely because it doesn't fit anymore. It doesn't line up, not even close. So the first point I want to make is the testing of our faith produces endurance. During that time between the promise and the fruition of the promise, this is where our faith is either perfected or abandoned. James 1:3 says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in what? Nothing. It's the testing of our faith. It's the being put in those situations where we see that we even have any faith. It's all of those situations where we, in the natural, we have a certain expectation of hope. But because we have God, we have another expectation of hope. And where are we going to focus? Are we going to focus on the natural, or are we going to focus on the supernatural? Sometimes we mistake delayed answers to prayer as God not listening, or I must have done something wrong, when really it's that time in between the promise and the fruition of the promise that causes us to be strong. If we didn't have that time, think about how weak our faith would be. Think about how weak our self-control would be. Think about how weak any little thing went wrong, we would be crumbling like dust. But because we have that time, there's a principle called what? Seed, time, and harvest. It's the time part we don't like. But that's where the work happens. That's where we encourage ourselves. This is where we build our faith, where our faith becomes stronger, where we can be ready for the next challenge, which is going to try to pull our faith even higher up to the point where we can endure no matter what. So in order for us to be growing in our faith, we have to go through this stuff. But if our perspective is that we're just going through this stuff to have our faith growing, then we have a whole different perspective about the stuff. I try to remember, we've heard it many times, you know, when you're going through stuff, seek God. If you're not seeking God, how are you going to get through it? You're not going to be stronger coming out of it, that's for sure. There's just no way to grow in faith unless we have that time to exercise it, right? We've said it before, exercising faith is like putting weights on a bar and you know, doing the curls. And then, you know, after a while, you get to put more weight on the bar. Time is the weight on the bar. The weight on the bar, W-E-I-G-H-T, or weight, W-A-I-T. It's the same thing. We need that. It's good for us. He knows it's good for us. And if we know he's with us through the whole thing, then it becomes a lot easier to wait when our perspective is on him. And that's why hope is so important, because hope is what points us to him. If our hope is in him, then we're looking to him. If you take a compass, that compass is going to be facing what? What happens if you turn, so if north is that way and I turn this way, what happens to the needle of the compass? Does it move with me? It stays over here, right? If I turn this way, will the needle turn this way with me? No, it's going to stay this way, right? He doesn't move. Our hope shouldn't move. And if our hope is in him, our hope will not move. Our hope will be, we will be fully assured of the things that he promised if our hope is in him. And even when we don't understand what's going on, we can have peace and joy because we know that he's involved. We know that when we're exercising our faith and giving him the situation, that's all we can do, really. It's up to him. The rest is up to him. How many would rather have the rest up to him than in our own hands? That needle on the compass is not going to move, and he's not going to move. We're going to have to be the ones to move. So if I want to be facing him, I can't be facing wherever I feel like it. I have to be facing him. If my hope is in the money that I have in my account and the promise of Social Security when I retire, well, we just said the systems are breaking down, right? We don't know. So if our hope is in these things, boy, that's going to be hope deferred at best. And what does that do? It makes the heart sick. It makes us sick people. The only way we can stay strong and grow and be healthy is if our eyes are fixed on him. And so that's the encouragement I want to give you today, is no matter what you're going through, even no matter what the end result is, if you put yourself in his hands, if you put your trust in him, it's just like the watering and the planting. You know, that's all we can do, but the increase comes from who? Any increase comes from him. And we have to believe that no matter what the outcome is, it was the best outcome for us. I found that any situation that I've gone through, if I kept my eyes focused on him, I came out of it stronger. Maybe it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, but I had a perspective of what he was trying to get at in me, the work that he was doing in me, which to him is much more important than even the work that we do ministering to others. The work that we allow him to do in us, to him, is the most important thing. The rest will just take care of itself. You know, there are other places in the Bible where you can see Abraham contending for the promise. Romans 4, 20 to 21 says, yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Do you believe that what God had promised, he is also able to perform in your life? Do you also believe that there is a role for us to play in fulfilling that promise, that role, that plan that he has for us? There is a role that we have to play. And really, that should be one of our tops, one of our top tens in the prayer list is, Lord, what is your purpose and your plan for me so I can align with that? And there have been days when I don't always hear from God. And I know that when I don't hear from him, he's saying something then. He's saying something right there too. And so when I pray and I say, Lord, I need you to give me the next step. Show me what the next step is, Lord. And I don't hear anything, I don't see anything. Well, then by faith, I just have to take the next step. And that's what I say. I'm going to take this next step believing that you're going to direct it. Before it hits the ground, you're going to move it to the right place. And that's what I pray. I'm just going to walk, Lord. If I don't have any clear direction for it, I'm just going to walk. And I'm just going to believe that you're going to direct me as I go. And in fact, a lot of times that's when I find myself, you know, with some divine appointments. And those divine appointments, what do they do to our faith? It's like breathing into a balloon, right? It just encourages us. As we exercise our faith, it is made stronger. As we abandon our faith, it becomes even weaker. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So when I don't hear anything, that's what I do. I acknowledge him in all my ways. I'm going to take a step, Lord, and I'm going to believe that you're going to direct it and make it land where it needs to land. You know, it's hard. Leaning not on your own understanding is very hard. It's something we have to practice, like exercising faith. It's part of exercising faith, really. There are many facets to exercising faith, but leaning not on your own understanding is one of those ways that we can exercise faith. The good thing is that we have the Bible, which can give us the direction that we need. It's good for any situation that we find ourselves in. We don't always like the answer, and most of the time the answer is going to be something that is not our natural inclination, something that we would just do without being intentional. So it really causes us to step off of the path that we would normally choose for ourselves. Abraham had to wrestle against what he knew to be true in the natural and choose to believe in what God said. We're no different. Today, we need to believe in what God said. And in order to believe in what God said, we have to first know what God said. So we need to know what the Word says. We need to be in the Word, because we know that the Word speaks differently to us. As we grow and as we mature, the Word reveals more of itself to us. And so, you know, I don't care how many times we've read, as we are transformed, the Word transforms with us and releases more fresh revelation to us. We need to believe God in the midst of this world where we live. The natural hope, the one that relies on what we know to be true, it has to be destroyed. Right? Everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of Christ has to be put down. Abraham is the father of faith, right? I mean, we know what Abraham did. I mean, that's only one part of the story, you know. Then he had the son, which was a miracle, and then God asked him to sacrifice his son. And, you know, Abraham went into it believing, well, you know, if God wants to raise him up afterwards, then that's what he's going to do. But Abraham knew that God had given him a son, but he was willing to give it up, because he still knew that God knew better than he did. God was sovereign. Is God sovereign in our lives? Or are we sovereign? Is our comfort sovereign? Is the things that we hope in, our bank accounts, our jobs, our houses, our this, our that. You know, are they the things that we've been blessed with, or are they idols that we worship, that we put all of our hope in? You know, I put my hope in my car that it's going to get me to work. And then I think you heard the story that I had just last week, where the car just all of a sudden was a total loss out of nowhere. Well, if my hope was really in my car, that would have been a devastating blow. But even through it, and I said, that's the testimony, right? I kept my faith, I kept my peace, I kept my joy, because I know, as a child of God, all the resources of heaven are open to me as He decides to release. Hoping in the hope that never disappoints, Jesus Christ. Never disappoints. Psalm 42:11. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Hoping in God honors God. It blesses God. It's one of the ways that we acknowledge that He is God. Hope is the compass. Hope is what points the direction for our faith and all of our love, acts, and deeds. Hope, where are we hoping in? Hope says, my God is always working all things together for my good. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Hope goes beyond words and affects our behaviors, the things that we do. How many would say, we need hope today? We need hope in these days. And if our hope is in anything but Jesus, our hope is going to be dashed against the rocks like that ship was. Hoping in the Lord puts our confidence in Him alone. Hebrews 10:34-39 says, for you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. How many would say today, I am not of those who shrink back? Would you say that today? Hope can carry us through the darkest of times. The words trust and hope are oftentimes connected because there's a connection between our level of trust and our dying on me. The scripture that I referenced earlier was 1 Corinthians 13:13, where it says, but now faith, hope, love. Abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. But let us remember that the hope piece of it is our compass. It points us in the direction that we are to go. And if our hope is in God, we're pointed straight to God. If our hope is in other things, remember, that needle never moves. We've moved. And we need to make sure that we stay aligned with our Heavenly Father. 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Those are the three blocks, and they form a triangle, and hope is in the beginning. It's like the head of an arrow, and hope is the point that points us in the right direction. Hope. So what is the definition of hope? Hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. What are you desiring to happen? Are you desiring to get a raise? Are you desiring to get a new car? Are you desiring anything that is of this world? And it's okay. It's okay to have. I mean, we have to live, right? We have to live of this world, so we need things in order to function. But those are just things that we need. Where is our heart? What is our desire beyond? Do we even have a hope beyond the things of this world? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So they're all connected. You can't have the two without the third. You can't have one without the other two. You've got to have faith, hope, and love. Psalm 31:24, be strong and let your heart take courage. Who? All you who hope in the Lord. Psalm 135, I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. How many would say hallelujah for the word of God? How many appreciate the fact that we have his word, that we can pick up his word at any time and just open it up? And it's like being in his presence. Psalm 130, verse 7. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption. Psalm 131, 3. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. So that's my question to you today is, what are you putting your hope in? It's something to think about, right? Yesterday we gave the men some homework. We said make a list. Make a list of the places where we are in agreement with the Lord and make a list of where we are not in agreement. Because we talked about, can two or more walk together unless they agree? I'm going to ask, just sit down. I've made lists and it can be very enlightening. It can really show us where we're really at, especially if you invite the Holy Spirit to help make the list with you. So where is my hope? What are the things I put my trust in? What are the things today that I take, I can breathe easy if I know that this is there or that is there? Or, is it in something other than the Lord? Hope is commonly used to mean a wish. Its strength is the strength of the person's desire. But in the Bible, hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised and its strength in his faithfulness. When he is our delight, he will give us the desires of our heart. We know that scripture, right? When he is our delight. Faith, hope, and love in and for God will get us to the end when Jesus comes to perfect us and when we can go home to be with him forever and have that meal that he's waiting for us to have. And then I'm just going to leave you with some quotes, some hope quotes that I found. One of them is, hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. Right? And that's that hope against hope. When you look around and all you see is darkness, we have him. We have a hope that can elevate us above the darkness. Another one says, it's always something to know you've done the most you could, but don't leave off hoping, or it's no use doing anything. Hope, hope to the last. And then one more, hope is that thing inside us that insists despite all the evidence to the contrary, that something better awaits us if we have the courage to reach for it and to work for it and to fight for it. We will have to fight for this hope. It's not going to be something that just happens unless we are intentional about fighting for it, identifying what we put our hope in today. Where's the gap? Can we shift some of those hopes over to the Lord's side? And then we'll have to remind ourselves every day, encourage ourselves. My hope is in the Lord. So let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you this morning. We ask for even a fresh impartation of hope to help direct our steps, to help guide us, to help set our eyes upon you. We thank you, Lord, for your patience with us. We thank you, Lord, that your love is unconditional. We thank you that you look down upon us and smile, even in the condition that we find ourselves in sometimes. Thank you for your Father's heart. Thank you for your faithfulness. We acknowledge your faithfulness this morning, Lord. We acknowledge your goodness. We acknowledge your promises and that you are faithful. That your desire for us is to walk in every promise. And we thank you for that, Lord. We praise you, we honor you, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you all. It's keep forgetting it's a holiday weekend. I was very surprised. Ben's breakfast, we said, well, it's a holiday weekend. We're not going to see anybody. So if just the cooks get together and eat and share with each other, that'll be fine too. But we had such a showing yesterday. It was awesome. So thank you for being here today, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.